Thank you, my brother. And I remind you again that we are in a month in which our series of biblical studies are on biblical foundation. We have addressed the local church and God's way. And why do we have a local church? We have addressed marriage, God's way, and then also giving God's way. If you were not here, our lines are available in the website, as well as the sound and the preaching, and also in the back, in the foyer, we have tapes and CDs about these messages, who will give you a strong foundation in your Christian faith. Now, today, we are addressing ourselves a very simple topic. For Christians, the biblical foundation for living God's way. Perhaps if you're American and you were born in America, you miss about three-quarters of the world. The only thing you know is America, and that's it. Your function, that little country called America, that's your style. But when we come from different countries and European background and different places, then we have other lifestyles, and we have other educations and other things. And one of the worries of my family coming to America was this. Now, watch out how those people live, and do not change your principles, said my aunt. And she kept writing until she died for 3 more years. Every week we will get 3, 4, 5, 7 pages reminding me the principles of God in spite of the American territory. Now, that was in the year 65. Imagine today if somebody will have to come from South America to hear today how many letters you have to write to that person to remind of God's principle. America, I'm sorry, being so far away from the blessings and the presence of God. So I want to teach you how to live today. Pastor, a lot of people tell me you are Latin, and then is it you care for your wife because you are Latin, they said. That made me laugh, but that's the way they say. They said, you know, Latins have a way with women, and that's why. But, you know, which way should we go? How should we live? Our congregation is a mosaic of the nations of the world. I keep telling people one of my prides of my congregation is that we have people from Korea, people from Philippines, people from China, people from Japan, and it's just beautiful. It's just a piece of heaven in this little here. And we have our Ramil and Bedolo with they told me I'm Chaldean. No, I'm not Iranian. I'm Chaldean. They tell me, and when they move their finger like this, I mean serious business. All right, and so on. And then you have people from Mexico and people from El Salvador, people from Argentina and Spain. And we really enjoy the mixture of the mosaic present because each one of you have a different background, a different way to think, a different way to eat, all right, and so on. And how should we live in an overall picture? And even we have people with background from Israel in our congregation and so on. So how should we live? Well, the best way is if you're in Romans 1, if you go to Romans 4 and in verse 3, I keep saying that my series of studies is based on the statement made by the Apostle Paul in reference to how should we live. And Paul was questioned about the salvation of Abraham. And in verse 3, he answered that question in a nutshell. He said, for what does the scripture say? And that's the way I'm going to answer this question, in the same way they answered the questions on marriage and the questions that we have here on the church, local church, and on giving. What does the scripture really say? So here I'm going to do a very simple analysis today. You don't have to be under stress to follow this study. It's going to be very simple, but right to the point. All right? Here is the great question. Go with me to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, page 938. There are Bibles in the pews, installs in the pew. And for your advantage, I will give you the page number when I mention the scripture. You go to Ezekiel with me, which is in the Old Testament, in chapter 33 in the book of Ezekiel. And in verse 10, here is the great question. The question of the centuries, I will say. Regardless where you live, in Italy, like my mother was born, or in the Iranian territory, or in Israel, or in America, here is the question. Ezekiel reads in this way, therefore you, O son of man, God talking to Ezekiel, say to the house of Israel, that is the nation of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? That's the question. How can we then live? That's the question. I came from Spanish-Italian background, my wife from true Spaniards, and some of you from Japan, and some of you this, and here we are ourselves in America. How can we live? Now people said, I was in New York in a conference, and he said, this is the Italian section. We eat like Italian, we walk like Italian, we talk like Italian, we look the girls like Italian. That's what they tell me. And see, America is a mosaic of all kinds of races. Really, it's not native like Mexico, who is native people. You see the native people in Mexico. Argentina is a mosaic of European people. They think like European. They eat like European. You know, 10 o'clock in the night is the dinner. Because that's in Europe. That's over there. All right? And so, how shall we live? And Ezekiel, God said to Ezekiel, ask Israel, how shall we live? The answer in our reading this morning. Turn your Bible to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 17, page 1222, that our brother have read. And the answer is on verse 17. How we Christians shall live. Look at what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, in verse 17. For in it, means in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Remember, verse 17 was 16 was talking about the gospel. Now, verse 17 said, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God, or you can change that German word for the English word, the justification of God, is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, or the believer, shall live by faith. What a simple answer. You go to school, you are in college. How should we live? By faith. That means, Pastor, I don't study anything and I have faith I'm going to pass the exam. Don't be a fool. I do not mean that. And you know well, if you do not study, you do not pass. But you live by faith. And that's the way we live. And you can live in any country of the world. You can live in Japan. You can live in Argentina. You can live in Russia by faith. That is the common denominator that will get you through. How the believer should live. This is 2,000 years ago. And the question of Ezekiel was another 4,000 years before. So here we have 6,000 years. But how shall we live? The answer is by faith. Now the question is, we need some details. By faith in what? By faith in how? And so on. Okay, let's go into the details. All right? Together. The first thing you need to know is you live by faith in God. Let's go to Mark Gospel. Look at here in your left, Mark 11:22, page 1094. Mark, a gospel. In chapter 11, and verse 22. And look what the Bible says. There was a fig tree that Jesus was a year before walking, and Jesus said to the fig tree, if you have no fruit, you will die. A year later, the disciples coming back, the fig tree had no fruit, but is dead. And so, they were surprised. The disciples said, boy, things happened just as you say it. Wow, Jesus, you say something and really happened. So Jesus answered that. Look in verse 22. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. The word God is a Greek word called Theos. The Greek have many, many Theos. Parthenon, that beautiful building there in Ephesus, has about 17 Theos. But the Bible was not referring to that. The Bible was referring to the God of the Bible. Have faith in God. Whatever God said in His Word is going to happen. If you are a believer in Christ and you disregard your life in respect to the behavior of your person and you do what you want to with your life, not obeying God, and you're a Christian, the book of Hebrews said, God is going to discipline you. Very simple. As a father disciplines his children, so God disciplines his people, said Ephesians, said the Hebrews 12:5. And so, have faith in God. You know, we are living in a very hard time, they said. It really, really made me laugh. Made me laugh. Go to the most fancy restaurants. You cannot get a seat at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. You have to wait half hour, 1 hour. What are you talking about hard times? You have no idea what hard times is. We who come from foreign countries, no. We can buy sugar only one time a week. We can buy meat only one time a week. We can buy kerosene to heat our stuff only one time a week and only 10 gallons. And we never thought we were in hard time because I was playing soccer. I was enjoying myself. Mama was the only cooking and suffering through. But I tell you this, if you obey the Bible, have faith in God, and what God said was right here in the Bible. If you don't have one, pick one and go home and read it. So how do I know, told me somebody in McDonald's, well, you read it. I mean, you have to read all of this. Well, how long will it take? I don't know. But read it. And if I don't understand, read it again. What do you mean I have to read it again? Don't, believers, don't play like that, because this is God's Word. This is the most precious book ever a man and a woman have. This is the most precious jewel you have. And in America are 35 translations. Read one translation that really makes sense and you are willing to obey. This is the answer. It is not a newspaper. It is not a psychiatrist. It is not a psychologist. It is the Word of God. Have faith in God. Well, what did God say? Well, I don't want to tell you. Read it. God tells you how to read it. All right? He tells a man to have one wife. That's it. You can afford more than one anyway, but it's have one wife. That's it. So this is what God said. And children, God said, obey your parents. Doesn't say the age. I taught a lot in Christian schools. And at the end of my teaching, I said, any question? The guy raised a hand. He said, well, I have to obey my parents when they are right or when they are wrong. I said, the Bible says, children, apokuo, see, pater. Apokuo means reverence to the sergeant, all right? And your father is a sergeant. Whatever he said, you do it, regardless if he's wrong or right. It's his fault anyway. You are responsible to that? Oh, I don't know. Well, that's called rebellions against God. Well, in America, the Service for Social Studies said, well, you cannot force your children to do to obey all the time because you damage them. No, you don't damage them. You educate them. Educate them. Now listen, here it is. Have faith in God. Is that hard to learn? Yes, it is. You know why? Because we put time for everything we want to except time for God. We do not read the book. We do not read the book. I thank God. I hated at that time when I was 4, 5, 6 years old. But 5 to 6, the Swedish missionary, Bernier and Lavoisier, will come to my house. And those French people that were from Switzerland will read for 1 hour the Bible. Can you imagine? You are 6, 7 years old. And a big table like the Thomson home they have. A big table there. Whole family there. And they just came for lunch, everybody. And the missionaries will come in. And we have to read and read and read. And I was watching my, when this end up. And flap, my father and mother will fan my face. And I wake up and I hate it. I hate it. But they didn't know. They didn't know what they were doing. They put my book in my heart before the university. I thank God. I thank God. They drilled this book into my life just by grandma sitting. This Arab lady will sit at the end of the table and said, now, Chevalier, read the scripture. And when grandma say that, everybody quiet. Because she have chocolate, remember? She cooked raw chocolate. And she told me, I just have 1 pound of chocolate for you. All right. I listen to anything. And so for 1 hour, it was great. I don't know what will turn you on, but I tell you, read the Bible. Read the Bible. There is no better thing for your children than you read your Bible. That's what Satan took the Bible out of the schools. Because Satan knows that if America reads the Bible, we have a different president, we have a different Congress today. But we stopped reading the Bible, and that's what happened. So have faith in God. That's one detail. Now, the next detail, have faith in God's Word. Look at in John Gospel, chapter 2, in verse 22, 1150 is the page. John Gospel, chapter 2. In verse 22. Here is what the scripture says. John Gospel chapter 2 verse 22. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remember that he has said these to them. In other words, the disciples were at the tomb. Now is the resurrection. And they say, oh, that's what Jesus told us. And the Bible said, and they believe the scripture and the word which Jesus has said. And they believe the scripture. Now, I go a little farther. They have faith in God by reading the scripture. I go this, you read the scripture and you believe the scripture. You just believe the scripture. How a professor in the university will know if you know the stuff that he teach you, the stuff that he taught you? How that he knows? Well, I don't know, in America, in South America, in university, you have a test every class. I mean, a big test. First hour is 1 hour of test, then the lesson. Those who fail cannot attend the class until they learn the lesson. And so the class is getting strength. We start 1500 and up 8, finishing with the diploma. I think America is different. But they took a test, all right? You take a test in America. And so then we know that you know. How do you know you believe the Bible? You want to know? Here it is. Go to the book of James. I don't have a page for that. The James is on the right in your Bible, and you get there. James. And look at that in chapter 1, in verse 22, James chapter 1, in verse 22. This is how you know you really believe the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. Be ye doers, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. See, you believe the Bible if you obey it. That's the test. If you do not believe the Bible, you do not obey it. Remember, we talk about giving to God proportionally. If you don't give any money to the Lord, you don't believe the Bible. That's it. We talk about obeying your parents. If you don't obey your parents, you don't believe the Bible. We're talking about loving your wife, remember? As Christ loved the church with sacrifice. And if you don't do it, you don't believe the Bible. We talk about respecting your husband and honor him. And if you don't do it, you don't believe the Bible then. Oh, you know, I know what people do. They do argument. They say, well, do you think that no means no? Yeah, no means no. Don't laugh about it. I got emails after emails. I have an email. I argue with someone that said, well, God doesn't chastise anybody. Well, try to disobey God willingly. Try. And I, don't call me because you don't have time to call me. The things that will happen here. He said, oh no, God will not do this. I said, read, it's right here in Hebrews 12. And then the email comes back and says, do you think that the word chastise means chastise? What do you think it means? When you read the newspaper and said, the 49ers lost, you think that means loss or win? This is how ridiculous we are, because Satan makes you in that way. See, Satan is flowing around to see who he can deceive. And the only way he can deceive you is by fooling you and doubting the word of God. Remember Genesis 3? He said to Eve, are you sure that God said? Are you sure? And my friend, don't fool around. Faith in God's word is the second thing, the second detail, and how we should leave. The disciples do not believe in the beginning, but now Jesus is gone. And they say, wow, it's gone. Oh, remember? He say that. And sometimes it happened to us. We read the newspaper and something happened. Oh, yeah, I remember. I read in the scripture. This is hard times are going to come. And so on. Please have faith in God's word. Now, faith also and his justification program. Some people say, well, how do I get to heaven? Well, the way to get to heaven is how the Bible tells you. All right? So let's go to Romans chapter 5. When you really want to know anything about God's justification program, you read Romans 5, memorize it, eat it if it's possible. It's the best of the best for justification. Romans chapter 5, and look in verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, just as through one man sin enter into the world, and death through sin, and thus death is spread to all men because of sin. Now what the Bible is saying? It's saying that when a baby is born, he is born a sinner. And Satan have planned how to avoid that. And have created the Roman Catholic Church. And in the Roman Catholic Church, there is a doctrine where you baptize the baby and he becomes a Christian. Then you get the Protestant and have got the Protestant to believe that that baby is saved until that baby is 12 or 13 and then he knows wrong and right and then he becomes an unbeliever. Now he has to become a believer. It's just crazy. We are born sinners. Rather, you're a Catholic or you're a Protestant. Listen, throw away your doctrine. We are born sinners because Adam was a sinner and he passed the sin. We are born with a factory defect. Have you bought a car? Because always a factory problem. We have a factory problem. One time after surgery, Dr. McCormick, another doctor, we went to eat lunch and I said to the other doctor, what was the problem? He said, we don't know. Was born with this problem. All right, I said, that's like you. Me? Yeah, you. And Dr. McCormick said, yeah, you. And he said, what is it? What I did? No, you did nothing. Like this baby who died a few minutes ago, you were born with that problem. What problem? Sin. Oh, he was scared to death. Until I say sin, oh, that's nothing. See, that's Satan. It cleans your mind. Don't worry about sin.
All right?
And so verse 12 said here, and we are born. What is the solution? Verse 18, same chapter, verse 18. Therefore, as through one man, man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteousness, act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. In other words, Jesus, dead on the cross, paid for my sin, his resurrection, give me life, and that act of God justify my life if I believe it. If I believe that Jesus died for my sin, that his life qualify him to have the atonement for my sins forever, if I believe that, then I'm justified. Really? Well, look in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in what Satan does, he trying to go around that. And he get a church saying, Roman Catholicism said, you are saved through the church. We baptize you, you become a member of the church, now you are part of the body. Wow, it's terrible. I don't have the scripture in my life, but it came to my mind a very wonderful scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, look at who put you in the body. No Pastor Otero, no Father Otero. Look at who put you in the body. In McDonald's, they call me Father Otero. It's all right. I'm the father of my daughter, so it's okay. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized, placed into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we all have made to drink one Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit through the scripture that works in you. Remember Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. Remember John 14:26, the Holy Spirit will come and teach you and remind all things about me, said Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit work. One he works, one you say, I believe, he plays you into the body. No, Pastor Otero. So that's the justification. Believe the justification of God. Please believe what God has done. You are born a sinner. Nothing you can do when you are born with these defects from factory. It's nothing you can do, but God can because he made you. So as the one who made you, he can correct that defect. And he did. He sent his son. Live a perfect life and atone for me. That's a justification. But I need to believe it. I need to believe it. All right? One more. Faith as a discipline of life. Let's go to the book of Hebrews 11. I think it's page 1312. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to pick on my friend Moses. Just speak a little bit. Look in verse 24. Faith as a discipline. And look the verbs that are used here. If you like grammar, you like verbs because they are like rolling wheels that move you. All right? By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he said, I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm not part of this world. I belong to God's people. By faith. He refused. And by faith, young people, you have to refuse to be equal with the others who are not believers. By faith. By faith, ladies, you refuse to marry that gorgeous, good-looking boy who is not a believer. By faith, boys, you refuse to marry those glorious girl with blue eyes or no blue eyes or whatever that you like it if she is not a believer. By faith, you refuse. By faith, man, you refuse to get mad at your wife when she don't cook right the enchiladas. You know what I mean? Oh, there are times that we husbands have ideas. I want to do this on Saturday. And your wife said, how wonderful. When my wife said to me, do you like me to cook eggs and this? I said, ooh, that's heavy. Because it's have a price on it. You know that. After you eat, say, well, she will say, all right, Lord, tell me. I have to shine my golf clubs, but my wife have other ideas. Now, what I should do? You know, by faith, you refuse to be equal to the world. All right? This fantasy world that we live on. By faith, you said no to the world. All right? By faith, you refuse to get in depth in your life. Oh, we all like beautiful things. We all like it. But do you have the money to pay? That's what President Obama said the other day. He said, I will not give money to anybody unless you have the money to pay. That's what we've been saying for a long time. All right? You cannot have a loan unless you have a good job and 20% of that loan to pay, he said. I said, well, you wake up, my friend. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. And you refuse to be like the world. You are a Christian. And you need to refuse to be equal to the world. Verse 25. Choosing. That's another verb. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. I'm just going to do what God said regardless. You know, our body wants things. Our carnal mind wants things to do. And you have to choose. You have to make a choice. You have to say, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God said. Period. And no difficulties. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Esteeming, I'm a Christian and I'm on the top already. I don't need to get on the top. See? It's just fantastic. Look at what verse 27 said. By faith he forsook Egypt, no fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he trusts God. He trusts God who is invisible. That's courage. That is courage. You know, I think I've told you before, but I want to tell you again. When I bought my second house, I apply, I'm a pastor, and the man said, no, we had to refuse your loan. The man in the bank, this tiny little manager, compared to God, he's a tiny little ant. You know, and I belong to God. Remember, he's the general manager of the bank. Tiny little thing like an ant. Said, the realtor came to me and said, well, we're going to have the loan because you're a pastor. There's no security. Oh, wow. I said, I can get a lot of money on that. Let him send me a letter. And so he sent me a letter. Now I have a letter. I have no security because I'm not a pastor. I got a good lawyer and the Bible. I said, let's go to court. And in court, the judge said, well, the Bible said he has security, so he got the loan. And you people cannot charge this. And oh, the judge was really mad. That was years ago. Today, they killed me maybe, but that years ago. And you know, I was just smiling. I said, I'm just here for fun, whether I got the house or not, even though I like it so much. But I went over there and said, how can you deny the book? I was in court saying that. And the judge listened attentively. I said, I have a copy for you, Your Honor. I have a copy there. And if I don't give you a copy, you don't deserve a copy. And they said, you know, I really enjoy myself. Fun. And I got it. See, have courage, Christian. If you live the Christian life, you should be untouched in this world. That's the way I feel it. Doesn't matter what country you live. But remember, you need to have faith. And look at verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover. You know what that means? By faith, he was reverent to God. By faith, you come to church every Sunday as God requires. Don't think a Sunday is your day. That's a sin. Don't think a Sunday is for rest on your body. That's a sin. I never do. Not because I'm a pastor. When I was, one of the things, my pastor in Alameda, when I was working there, then my pastor said, one thing I can count on the second pew on the alley, here is Gabriel Otero, Mrs. Otero, and Miriam sitting there. Well, I had to be there because God said, by faith he kept the Passover. I believe that God said, Sunday belongs to God. I'm not living in the Old Testament because Nehemiah pulled the hair of the people if they were not in church on Saturday. I don't want to do that. Don't be afraid. But I tell you, it's just so beautiful to obey God. So what we're saying this, faith as a discipline. You live your life by faith and you enjoy it. It is not really a penalty. I want to close with one scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It's not there in the outline, but I thought that this will fit better for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, almost the end of 2 Corinthians. And verse 5. Here's what the Bible says. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Church of God, it's not that we are Catholics or we are Romans. That's insignificant. You need to examine yourself. It's not that you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal. You need to examine yourself and think in this way. I'm doing what God said as a Christian. I'm living in the way that God said. I'm believing God, yes or not. The denomination, the sign outside means nothing. It is the sign inside that really counts. Do we believe God what he says? Then I'm in church on Sunday. Do we believe that God said pray? Then I'm in prayer meeting. In other words, you compare what you do with the scripture and see if they match. Examine yourself. May God help you so that we see in Bethel to blossom a revival because you obey God. Thank you, Father, for the preciousness of your word. And forgive us, because sometimes, Father, include me, we take priorities, or we think that this is right for me. And oh, forgive us, Lord. You know how tender we are. You know that we are just clay. So, Father, produce a revival in our church that they may believe you. And as a result of that, they may walk with you according to Scripture. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
I see my Savior's face. I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son. And through tears of joy with trembling lips these words I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care. I could see him grow. Thank you.
And I thought they want me to do that and preach that sermon from here. I said to myself, they don't tell me about it, so I... Let us stand for prayer. Lord, gracious Father, we love you. Imperfect as we are, we love you. And from time to time, it's nice to review what you expect from us. We want to confess to you, alone we cannot do it. So may the Spirit of God touch us in a desire to obey and follow you. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.